Okay, good afternoon. Today I'll be speaking from 1 Samuel 14:6, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. The text says, "Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few.'" So we'll start with an introduction and then hit 3 points. Let's go. Maybe the Lord will work for us, and nothing restrains the Lord. Israel is transitioning from a time of God-appointed judges to a time of kings ruling over the nation. Samuel was Israel's last judge and also served as priest. And the people of Israel came to Samuel and said to him, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge over us like all the other nations." The people could see that Samuel's sons did not walk in the ways of the Lord. However, the people also were disobedient, for they asked for a king, which the Lord did not desire for Israel. So you have the priest's children and the people of Israel acting in opposition to the Lord. The Lord, knowing all things, said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." This is how it came to be that the Lord chose Saul as king over Israel. King Saul disobeys. In Saul's second year, Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul, and 1,000 were with Jonathan, Saul's son. War broke out with the Philistines. War broke out with the Philistines, and Saul called the people of Israel together. And the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And the Israelites feared this great Philistine army. And then the people hid in caves and thickets and rocks and holes and in pits. Some people went home. However, Saul stayed, and all the people followed him, trembling. Now Samuel the priest was supposed to meet Saul on the seventh day to give word to Saul about what the Lord would have him do. But Samuel did not yet come to meet Saul. That's okay. Saul became impatient and said, "Bring a burnt offering and peace offering here to me." And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened, as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came. Isn't that always the timing? And Samuel said, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered at Michmash, then I said, 'The Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord.' Therefore I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you." Then Saul left Gilgal and went to Gibeah, and there remained with him only 600 men. So a discouraged Saul moves away from the battle. Most of his men departed. Israel scattered and hiding in fear because of the great Philistine army. But isn't this a great condition for revival, friends? To make matters worse, the Bible says, "Now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, 'Lest the Hebrew make swords or spears.' So it came about on the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan, but they were found with Saul and Jonathan, his son. So the Philistines were like the sand on the beach, with chariots, horses, weapons, while Saul had 600 fearful, unarmed men and his faith-filled son, Jonathan. And in some way, does that not remind you of the state of our country? Do the presidents obey the Lord? Do the priests obey the Lord? Are Christians not hiding in holes? Are the people not saying, forget about our founding? Make us like the other nations. Give us a one world government. Friends, we need a revival from the Lord. So what can we do? Let's go. Jonathan didn't just sit around. Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let's go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. Now, the way in which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock. I used my hands, but I'm a little tied up. There was a sharp rock on one side, down, and a sharp rock on the other side, up. And then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by a few. Think of it. Who in their right mind would cross over to an army of infinite size? Just Jonathan and his armor bearer. No, excuse me. Jonathan, his armor bearer, and the Lord. His armor bearer responded, do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here I am with you. According to your heart. We need friends like that. Okay? What I know is that revival starts with you taking initiative and doing something for the Lord. You can lead the way, or you can be the wingman, but either way, you must go. Does the Lord himself not say, go therefore and make disciples? And once you go, set your mind to it, for there's no going back. You're not going back down that cliff. Forget those things which are behind you and reach forward to those things which are ahead. Maybe the Lord will work for us. Jonathan devises a plan. Let us cross over to those men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say thus to us, wait until we come down to you, then we'll stand in our place and not go up to them. But if they say thus, come up to us, then we will go up. For the Lord has delivered them into our hand. And this will be a sign to us. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden. Then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will show you something. Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. So Jonathan and his armor bearer went up to the garrison of the Philistines that had 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horses, and men as numerous as the seashore, with just themselves, a sword, and the Lord. And Jonathan said, maybe the Lord will work for us. I tell you now, he will work for you if you put your faith in him today. Nothing restrains the Lord. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees with his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. That first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, about half an acre of land. I know I'd be tired after that. What happens next should humble us all. A divine terror came over the Philistines. For the Bible says there was trembling in the camp, in the field, and among the people. The garrison and the raiders also trembled, and the earth quaked, so that it was a very great trembling. King Saul could hear the commotion. Then Saul and all the people who were with him assembled as they went into the battle. What they saw was amazing. In the Philistine garrison, every man's sword was against his neighbor. And there was very great confusion. The Philistines were fighting themselves. Saul also came to fight for Israel. Likewise, all the men of Israel who had hidden in the mountains of Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, they also followed hard after them in battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day. The Lord used Jonathan and his armor bearer to save Israel from an army of uncountable size. And I'll conclude. Jonathan took initiative to go and fight for the Lord. And he had faith that the Lord may work for him. And he believed that the Lord could save by a few. Today, America needs a God-ordained revival. Like Jonathan, you should be encouraged to take initiative. Do this with a faithful friend. Believe that the Lord may work for you. Knowing this, go. Teach His word. For as you go, the Lord goes with you. He will work for you and is capable to revive by many or by few. Thank you.